Today's shir is Masecht Bava Metzia, Daf Samech Hei, and we will begin on Daf Samech Hei, Amar Aleph, 8 lines from the top. Amar Abaya, Haimad Damasuk Zuzu Deribus Bechavrei. If somebody has a claim against someone else for a Zuz of Ribus, that means the borrower had obligated himself to pay the lender a Zuz of Ribus. And instead of the borrower paying in cash, he pays in wheat. And the price of wheat is ka'azli arba chiti arba griye bezuzah b'shuka. The price of chitim at this point is that you could get 4 measures of chitim for a zuz in the marketplace. V'yavli iyu chamisha. And the borrower gave the lender 5 measures of wheat. And as we learned and will learn, the halacha is that if a loiva pays a malva ribis, Bezdin can enforce that the malva has to return the ribis. Says Abaya, ki mafkina minei, when we make the malva return the ribis, arba mafkina minei, we make him pay back 4 zuz, because the halacha is that is the amount that we consider was prearranged. Idach, and the extra measure that he got, Zulihu the Mizugabe. We're not considering that as interest. We're just saying that he gave him a discount. But what he really owed was 4 Zuz. And Rava, however, says, we look at the entire amount given to the Malva as Ribis, and we make him give back all 5 measures of wheat, the Mikara, because this entire payment was made to him, but Tyrus Ribis Asulayode, it was made as a Ribis payment. So, the Rishonim explain. From this Gemara, we certainly see that you have to return the Ribis. The question is, what is considered the Ribis? Now the question that comes up is, what would be the halacha if the malva, instead of giving back wheat that he received as the ribis, wants to give back cash? The first question is, would that be an acceptable situation? Most Rishonim are of the opinion that it would certainly be acceptable that you could substitute cash for the commodity. Because most Rishonim explain, even though, as we've learning, paying ribis is osur, and not only is it prohibited to pay ribis, the person who receives ribis has to return the ribis, that doesn't change the reality that the ribis payment is halachically considered a valid payment. And therefore, the malva who received the wheat keeps the wheat and could substitute it for cash. But now the question that comes up is, according to Rava, who says that if he were to return the wheat, he has to return all 5 measures of wheat that he received, because that was the ribis payment, as the Gemara just explained. What will be the halacha if they're giving cash instead of the wheat? Will he have to give a zuz and a quarter, because that is the value of the wheat that he received? So is the opinion of most Paiskim. However, there are paiskim that suggest that even Rava would agree, since he's giving cash, he's giving back cash, and the amount of cash that was owed as ribis was a zuz, he only has to give back a zuz for the payment. Continues the Gemara. Vam Rabbaya, Haiman Damasik Arba Zuzah Dervisa Bechavrei. If somebody has to pay 4 zuz as ribis, instead of giving 4 zuz cash, he gave a coat. When the court takes away from the person, from the malva, the ribis, arba mafkimine, we take away from him 4 zuzim in cash. We don't take away the coat itself, because he only has to pay back the value that he was supposed to receive, the amount he was supposed to receive, and not the coat. And Rav Amar, Glima mafkin menei, we make him pay back the coat. My tama, why do we make him pay back the coat? Keicha de lemra, we don't want that if the malva will keep the coat, people will say, glima de mechsev koi, that the coat that this person is always wearing, glima de rabisahu, is a coat that he received in ribis. In order to avoid people talking that way, we make him give back the actual coat. So the Rishonim point out here too, that if upfront the arrangement was that he would give the coat as ribis, then there would be no shaila, and everybody would agree that he has to give back the coat. Here we're referring to a situation where he was only supposed to give money as the payment. And instead of giving money, he gave the coat. And here, Rav is of the opinion that you still have to give back the coat. Even though we said a moment ago that in the previous Gemara, Rav, many Rishonim say, agrees that if he received wheat as the ribbis payment, he can give cash instead of the wheat. Because in the wheat is not that obvious that everybody should point out and say that he got the wheat as a ribbis payment. That's the food that he's eating. However, a coat, which is something that he wears all the time, and people all the time will say, look at this coat that he's wearing, is the coat that he received from a ribbis payment, and that's why we're stricter regarding the coat. There is also a question, as we'll see in the next Gemara, what will be if the coat was worth more or less than the 4 zuz that was promised as the ribbis? Will he have to give back just the coat, or does he have to give back the extra payment, the value of the money above the coat? And therefore says the Gemara, I'm a Rava. High man the masik trays zuz de ribis bechavri. Someone is supposed to pay 12 zuz as ribbis. Vagalei chatzer the mezgra basara. The borrower rented the lender a courtyard which normally goes for 10 zuz a year. And the lender said to the borrower, Va'oigrin nile betresa. He said, you know what? Let me rent this property. You owe me 12 zuz. And even though the real rental value for this property is really only 10 zuz, I'll accept the entire the rental, the fact that you're allowing me to rent the apartment as the entire payment. And he rented to him for as if it was worth 12 zuz, when it was really worth only 10 zuz. As we have been saying, the halach is that you're entitled to take to the malva has to return the ribbis that he illegally received. The halach is trace mafkin minah. Since the ribbis payment due to him was 12 zuz, that's as much as it's taken from him. Amalei Rav Achma Diftel Ravina Velemalei, why can't the lender say to the borrower, Ki agra hachi, why did I agree to overpay? That to agree to pay, so to speak, 12 zuz for something that's really only worth 10 zuz, that would come starshali. Because it was worth it to me to get this property, and ribbis, as we know, is really pure profit. However, has to dloy mishtarshali, now that I have to take money out of my pocket to return to you, to the agriculture, I only want it to be considered as if I got 10 zuz, which is the real value of the rental. Says the Gemara, no. The malva will have to give the loiva the full 12 zuz. Mishum the omele, because the loiva can say to the malva, savrit the kablet. Yes, the true market value of this ribbis, is of this property, is only 10 zuz. But you accepted it to be considered like 12 zuz. And once you accepted it, that it should be considered like 10 zuz, that like 12 zuz, that is what it is worth. And therefore, when you now have to return it, as to return to me money, as the halacha requires, you have to return to me a full 12 zuz. Says the Mishnah, Marben al-Askar, somebody who rents out property can rent out the property for more than it's worth. If he is going to be delayed in receiving the rent. However, when you sell something, you can't sell it for more if you're going to, because you're willing to wait to get your money. And explains the Mishnah. Ketzad, cheskalais chatzeroi. If I rent out my courtyard to somebody, vamaloi, ima afshavata noisenli, if you pay me now to rent up front, have reilucha be'esa sloim l'shana, I'll accept 10 sloim for the rental for the year. However, if you're going to pay me on a monthly basis, then you'll have to pay me seller chodesh, a seller for every month, which will equal 12 slum. That is mutter. And we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara exactly when is a mutter and when is not mutter. However, machaloy sadeu, if somebody sells a field, vamaloy, im afshavata noisenli, if you pay me now, hareishel chabel of zuz, I'll sell it to you for 1,000 zuz, im milgoyrin, but if you're going to wait to pay me till the end of the season when you're ready, we're able to sell some produce off this field, then it's going to be shnei masamana, 1,200 zuz, then that is awesome. And as the Tosfos Yontif makes an interesting observation, he says, when it speaks about renting, when the Mishnah speaks about renting, the Mishnah speaks about renting the chotzer. When the Mishnah speaks about selling, it speaks about selling the field. Why don't we stay consistent? Either speak about the chotzer or speak about the field. So the Tosfos Yontif says that the Mishnah is teaching us an interesting din. He says that the Mishnah is teaching us that when it comes to sell, a person obviously wants to try to avoid selling off his assets, and if he has to sell because he's strapped for cash, says the Tosfos Yontif, our Mishnah says, first sell sadeu, first sell your field which grows produce before you sell the chotzer in which you live. There's also a question amongst the Rishonim. They point out that when the Mishnah says Machlai Sadeu, and we're saying that you're not allowed to give a cheaper price if you're going to receive cash up front, say to Rishonim that this ribis is only a ribis derabonon, not a ribis deraisa. Says the ask the Gemara, Mishna Reisha, Mishna Seifa, why are we differentiating between a rental and a sale? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Yosef Tavayu, Schiris Enem Shtalamis El Besayif. Really, rental should be paid at the end. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, there are a number of places in Shas that we have this concept of how does the Torah, how does the Halacha view a rental? Is Schiris Enem El Besayif? Is Schiris only owed at the end? Or Schiris is Mitchil of Atsayif from the beginning to the end? And explain the Rishonim. That discussion is only as far as the question of how does the halakha view my obligation, the obligation of a person who rented. Does the halakha view it as something that I owe for from the beginning, from the moment I start renting the property, I owe for the rental? Or does the halakha view it that I only owe for the rental at the end? But everybody agrees, say the Rishonim, and that's what our Gemara is saying, that the actual obligation, a paik, only comes lipsoif at the end of the rental cycle. And therefore, for high, and therefore in the case of our Mishnah, kiven d'loy matas mana limigba, since the time for paying the rental has not yet come, I'm just renting out the property now, lav ogenotele, by me collecting the higher fee for waiting to collect the rent at the end of the year, it's not agenotter, because I'm not really due the rent till the end of the year. Because mishra d'achishavya, it's only due to me at the end of the year. V'had d'kamele, so now when I tell the tenant, imi achshav atanoisenli, that if you'll give me the rent now, harei lecha be'eses loim l'shana, I'll give you a discount. He's giving him a discount by saying to him, you could pay up earlier. However, Sefer is referring to a sale. When you sell a property, you're really supposed to get the money as soon as the sale takes place. And by me saying to the buyer, you could wait to pay me till the end of the year, that is a case of agenotele and is aser. asks the Rimagash, in the Sechta Bava Basra, if we're saying now that Tzchiris is Eina Mishtalemes Al B'Soif, and therefore the landlord is not really entitled to the money until the end of the rental cycle, how can we allow the landlord to offer a discount to the tenant at the beginning of the year and take that money, since he's not yet legally entitled to that money at the beginning of the year? The tenant advancing him payment should be viewed as a loan to the landlord, and it should be considered usur because it's a situation that he's getting a discount for advancing money. And we're going, and we know that the halach is that, we just learned it in the Mishnah yesterday, that if a debtor offers his apartment to his creditor at a discount, it's considered ribbis. So by the landlord, now the ribbis is not the issue that the tenant is the one that's getting ribbis. The issue is that the landlord, by getting this money a year before he was supposed to, is getting ribbis. So the Stipler gives a very interesting answer. He says, when is prepayment considered a loan? It's only considered a loan if the merchandise that the buyer paid for is not available at the time of his payment. So therefore, since the buyer didn't get any merchandise in exchange for his payment is considered a loan to the merchant. However, even though we're saying that Tzchiris Eina Mishtalemes El B'Soif, when a tenant prepays an entire year's rent, what he's doing is he's acquiring the legal right to the use of the apartment. And what the Stipler is essentially saying is that even though Tzchiris Eina Mishtalemes El B'Soif, a tenant and a landlord can agree to have a different situation where the rent should be at the beginning. When is should be due at the beginning? How is that affected by the tenant actually paying that rent? And that's the case of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Dakabar Rabbanan B'Hamilsa. Chazal looked into this matter in proving that rent is only due at the end of the year. And they actually based it on a pasuk, because the pasuk says Schir Shana B'Shana. So the second word Bishana is actually superfluous to teach us Schir Shana Zu Eina Mishtalamus Al Bishana Cheres. This year's rent is only due next year at the end of the term. The Sefer Kikayin the Yoina asks an interesting question. Even though Al Gemara is mentioning the concept of Schiris Eina Mishtalamus El B'Soif, as we mentioned earlier, this is really not our sugya. The sugya of Schiris Eina Mishtalemes El B'Soif, which is a common sugya throughout Shas, this is not really the place for that sugya. So why, asked the Sefer, Kikoyin the Yoina, does the Gemara choose to ask this question, that how do we know Schiris Eina Mishtalemes El B'Soif strictly in our Gemara versus in any other place where it would make more sense to be mentioned? So he answers, our Mishnah, as we just said, made a difference between Mechira and Schiris, sale and rental. And the question that comes up is, why didn't Chazal treat a rental, why didn't Chazal make a gzera to be machmer by rental, a gzera because of Mechira, as many times Chazal do? Answers the Gemara, he says, that was our Gemara's question. And our Gemara answers that since everyone knows that Schiris Eina Mishtalemes El B'Soif, why is Schiris Eina Mishtalemes El B'Soif? Because the Pasuk says, B'Kisachir Shana B'Shana, Chazal saw no need to make such a gzera. The Pasuk also go on to say, the Mefarsh will also go on to say, that we could use this concept of Schiris Eina Mishtalemes El B'Soif on a homiletical level. They say a number of nice pshatim. One they say is Schiris Eina Mishtalemes El B'Soif. We know Pesach by the Seder, we say Ilu Horeg Es Bechareihem V'Lo Nosen Lanu Es Memoinam Dayenu. We specifically praise God that He gave us the Memoinam, the money of the Mitzrim. And the question is, why does this require such a special praise? Answer the Mefarshim. We know that Klai Yisrael was supposed to be Mitzrayim 400 years. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out after 210 years. And Klai Yisrael were concerned they're going to have to go back to Mitzrayim to make up those 190 years that they still owe the Mitzrayim, which caused them great distress. So we say in the Haggadah, V'nasim lanos memaynam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the memaynam, the money that the Mitzrayim owed us for working for them. We know our Gemara just said that the money is due elo lipsoif, at the end of the cycle. So that was a proof to Klal Yisrael that their time for working in Mitzrayim had completely expired. And that's why we give a special Shevach Vahidah Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Mefarshim also explain that this is why every year Chodesh Elul was supposed to do tshuva as we approach Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is the end of the cycle, and Tzchiras Einam Ishtalemus Elul Psoif. So as we come to the end of a cycle, we're supposed to make a cheshbon, just like a tenant with a landlord. After he finishes his lease, he sits down and they look at the apartment and what shape is the apartment, and according to the halacha, that's when the tenant owes the rent to his landlord. So too, before Rosh Hashanah, it's time for each one of us to make a cheshbon on nefesh with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in what shape are we in, and we have to pay HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the good that he does for us. Furthermore, say the Mefarshim, we know that the Gemara says Schar Mitzvah Bahai Al Maleka. We don't get Schar for our Mitzvah in this world. And the question is, why not? So the answer is that we in this world are Schirim. We in this world are workers for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Schiris is Einam Shtalemus Al Psoif. It's only paid at the end of the cycle, after we leave this world and we have completed our schiris. Vim Lagoyrin, we said in the Mishnah, Vim Lagoyrin, that if he agreed that he'll pay at the beginning of the season, it'll be $1,000, and at the end of the season, it'll be 1,200 zuz, awesome. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Tarsha, sometimes a transaction known as a Tarsha is Shari. What is the word Tarsha? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that the word Tarsha is from the etymology of the word is from cheresh, quiet. Sometimes ribbis, if it's done quietly in a permissible fashion, may be mutter. Another pshat in Tarsha is Tarsha represents a mountain, and ribbis is like a mountain where you're paying more than what you received. And sometimes ribbis, which is a Tarsha, is mutter. What is the case? The case is, as we just explained, where the seller is charging a higher price because he's waiting for payment, versus charging a lower price if he gets paid immediately. Eisrei Rami Bachamel Rav Nachman, Vamalei Rav Ukva Bachamel Rav Nachman, Vim Lagoyrin. We just learned in our Mishnah, not like that, that if the person sells his property and he says, I'll take one price now, or another place if we wait till the end of the season, Bishnei Masa Mana Osir, so how could Rav Nachman say that Tarsha is Mutter? Amalei responds Rav Nachman, Hasam, in the case of the Mishnah, Kotzlei, he quotes a price, what will be the current price, and what will be the higher price if he has to wait for payment? Hacha, in the case of my Tarsha, like Kutzlei, he didn't quote him a lower price for immediate payment. He only quoted the higher price. And then, if he takes the lower price because he accepts a discount because he's getting paid immediately, that is not considered ribbis. And there's a machlokes ha'achroinim. What situation is Rav Nachman referring to? The Machna Frayim suggests that even if the seller says to the buyer, this is the price, and he quotes the higher price, and this is relevant la'alocha l'maisa, but he says to the buyer, if you'll give me cash immediately, I'll give you a discount, according to Rav Nachman, the halacha is that it's mutter. The Mishnah Lamelech disagrees with the Machna Frayim, and he says that if the seller is quoting two prices, even though the real price is the higher price, but he quotes both prices, it's osur. It's only mutter, according to the Mishnah Lamelech, is if the seller quotes the higher price. And then the buyer tells the seller, well, what if I give you cash immediately? Will you offer me a discount? And the seller says, yes, I'll give you a discount if you pay me cash immediately. Then will Rav Nachman's heter of Tarshish apply. The Shari Yosher says there's a difference in different types of items. That if it's something that everybody knows, this is the real price, and offering the discount is because I'm really offering a price that's less, even though it's the seller who is initiating the offer of the discount, it would still be mutter. So lahalach lemaisa, because this question comes up quite often, if you're allowed to offer a discount for immediate payment, the Paiskim say as follows. If it's an item that has a set price, and you're offering a lower price for getting paid earlier, that is osur. The only time that tarsha is mutter is by an item that doesn't really have a set price. As the Paiskim say, what is the best example of something that doesn't have a set price? Property. Selling property or renting a property doesn't really have a hard and fast price. Furthermore, say the Paiskim, the right thing should be not that the seller should offer two different prices, saying one price if you pay immediately and another price if you pay later. Rather, the seller should only offer the higher price. And then the buyer should say, well, if I pay you up front, will you give me a discount? That is when tarsha is mutter. And many Paiskim say that even then, it's only if the difference between the higher price and the price for waiting and the price for paying immediately is not significantly different. But if it's significantly different, that too would be osur. Another point that the Paiskim make is the question that comes up is regarding leasing. We know, for example, that if you lease a car, so the sticker price of the car, let's say, is $25,000. But if you lease the car over a number of years, so you'll end up paying more than $25,000. So isn't that a situation of ribis, that you're paying more because you waited to pay? So if in the lease arrangement, at the end of the term, the person who's leasing the car doesn't own the car, so we really have here a situation of rental and not of payment. And as our previous Gemara said, rental is not the same as mechira. But even if we'll have a situation, say the Paiskim, where at the end of the lease term, the person who's leasing the car becomes the owner of the car, or even some Paiskim suggest he's able to buy the car at a cheaper rate than it's really worth, it's still not considered ribis. Because we don't look at every month's payment as a payment for the car plus interest. Rather, we look at every month's payment as a payment for the car plus a rental payment. And that is not ribis, and therefore it's mutter. Although it is important to point out that when entering into a leasing agreement, one should be careful to review all of the terms of the lease if there are no ribis issues if one is leasing something from a Jew. Om Rav Papa, so now Rav Papa makes a comment and he says, Tarsha di Shari, my type of Tarsha is mutter. Rav Papa was a beer merchant. And in the month of Tishrei, they used to make beer out of dates. And in the month of Tishrei, after the dates are harvested, there was plenty of beer, and it was therefore cheap. In Nissan, when there wasn't so much beer available anymore, it was more expensive. Rav Papa sold beer in Tishrei and allowed his customers to pay him later in Nissan. But when he allowed them to get into such an arrangement, he charged them the more expensive Nissan price. So Rav Papa was saying that since he did not quote two prices, but the price that he did quote was the higher price than the current market price, and it's mutter. My Tama, and that's where the Gemara picks up. Why did Rapapa feel that his parsha was mutter? Because he says, Scharei loy posid, beer doesn't get ruined. Furthermore, Zuzoi loy tzrichna, I really don't need the money. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm doing the customer a favor. For it was up to me, I would just hold on to the beer and wait till sell it until Nissan. And therefore, since from my perspective, I'm not gaining anything, that's why it's mutter. There is a machloitis rishonim if the tasha of Rav Nachman is more of a problem, or if the tasha of Rav Papa is more of an issue. Why is this so very relevant? Because we're going to learn that the halacha may be that the tasha of Rav Nachman is mutter. So if the tasha of Rav Nachman is mutter, and Rav Papa is less of an issue, then Rav Papa's tasha will certainly be mutter. If on the other hand we say the Rav Papa situation is a worse tasha, it could be that only Rav Nachman's tasha would be mutter, but not Rav Papa's tasha. What is the question based on? The Rashba says that since we know what the current price is for beer, and he's charging more than the current price, that is considered a worse situation than Rav Nachman's Tarsha. Other Rishonim, the Baal HaTrumas, holds that since he didn't say what, we don't know what the price will be when it gets more expensive, because we don't know what, at this point, the price will be in Nissan. That's why it's considered less of a concern than Rav Nachman's Tasha. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Shesh Bereder of Idil Rapapa, my Chazimar, the Kaz Labas Bidach, why do you say that this is not Ribbis? Because we look at it from the perspective of you, Rapapa, the seller. You're not gaining anything by selling it now. As far as you're concerned, you could wait. Zil busted who? Why don't we look at it from the vantage point of the customer? Dilo have a zuzu, if they had money available to them, have a shakli kahashta. They would agree to take it according to the current cheaper rate. Hashta the Leslie zuzu, it's only because they don't have money available to them. Shakli be yukr del kamei. They're agreeable to pay the more expensive rate, and that's why it should be considered ribbis. Amra papa, amra chama. Tash the divadishari. My tash is mutter. What was Rav Chama's tasha? Rav Chama sold merchandise whose price varied according to where you sold the merchandise. He would give the merchandise to agents on credit and charge them the higher price that they could get for it in different areas. They would then take, these agents would then take the merchandise to those areas, sell the merchandise for the higher price, and after they would sell the merchandise, they would use the money they received to do business until they would have to come back to Rav Chama and give him the higher price they received for the merchandise. Now we learned that selling on credit for a higher than the current price is usur. Rav Chama felt that since he kept responsibility for the merchandise until the time it was sold, it was he that was responsible, not his agents, and only after they sold the merchandise then did it turn into a loan from Chama to them. Therefore it's not considered delayed payment, and therefore it's not considered ribbis, because the loan that they received from Chama after they scat that money for selling Rav Chama's merchandise, they pay back without any interest. And since Rav Chama remained responsible for the merchandise until it got to that more expensive area, it was not an issue of ribbis. Says the Gemara. So now the Gemara picks up with a question. If that's the way we're looking at it, that the agents are only selling on behalf of Rav Chama, and Rav Chama actually is responsible for for the merchandise until it's sold, and they're just his agents, so why don't they deduct their expenses that they incur in getting to that location? Shouldn't that, the fact that they don't deduct their expenses, be a proof that it's not just that they're acting as an extension of Rav Chama, but rather this should be considered a loan? My Tama. So says the Gemara, why do I lend them? Why is this permitted? Because Nichaloy the Lake of Rishusay. The agents are satisfied that this should be considered Rav Chama's. The Kalhech the Ka'azli, because wherever they go, Shafklei Michsa, they don't have to pay tax, because they're saying it was Rav Chama's merchandise. Given that Rav Chama was a Talmid Chacham, a Talmid Chacham doesn't have to pay tax. And the halacha is that if there's a Talmud Chacham's merchandise to sell and someone else's merchandise to sell, the other merchandise doesn't go on sale until all the Talmud Chacham's merchandise is sold. So therefore, the Talmud Chacham, by the fact that this is the Talmud Chacham's merchandise, helps them, and that's why they render their services in consideration for this advantage, and it's not considered an issue of ribbis. Furthermore, says the Baal Amor, if we want to avoid this money becoming a loan, because if it becomes a loan, we enter into a question of ribbis, not only did they announce that this merchandise was Rav Chama's merchandise till they sold it, but even the money that they received for the sale of this merchandise, which they used for their own business needs from traveling back to that location to Rav Chama's location, was also considered Rav Chama's, and therefore it never becomes a loan. Furthermore, say the Rishonim, they don't have to have both privileges that are given to Talmud Chidush Chachamim of Shafkel Mechsa V'Nakel Shuka. Even one advantage is enough for it to be considered something that they are very satisfied with. Says the Gemara, we've learned a number of halachic questions, and now the Gemara paskins Hilchsuk Rav Chama, that this type of Tarsha that Rav Chama just suggested is Mutter. Vilchsuk Rav Lozer, the halach is like Rav Lozer, that if a Malva receives ribbis, he has to return it. And I saw the Mefarshim explain, shouldn't we first said Hilchsuk Rav Lozer? Wasn't that a sugya that we learned before we learned the sugya of Rav Chama, which we just learned? So the Mefarshim say the reason the Gemara quotes Hilchsuk Rav Lozer after Hilchsuk Rav Chama is to teach us that we paskin like Rav Lozer, that the Malva has to return ribbis, and not only in a situation of a halva, but even in a situation of a mekech u'memker, of a sale. The halach is that ribbis must be returned unless it's done in a halachically permissible that way. And what is the proof? Because Rav Chama was a situation of mekech u'memker. And if there's no issue of ribbis by mekech u'memker, so that's why it should be mutter. It must be that really by mekech u'memker there is ribbis. Just Rav Chama's approach is mutter. And furthermore, Vilchsuk Rav Yana, we go back to what we discussed from Rav Yana in Daf Samach Gimel, Domele Mali, Hey Mali Demeyim, that if one enters into a forward contract transaction in a situation that it's mutter, when it comes the time to give the commodity that was bought, you don't have to give the actual commodity, you could give a different commodity, according to all Rishonim, according to Rav Yanai, and as we learned, according to some Rishonim, according to Rav Yanai, you could even give the cash value of that commodity. Says the Mishnah, Machalos Sada, if somebody sold a field to someone else, and the buyer gave the seller some of the price, Vamaloi, Amos Shatirtsa, whenever you want, you could bring me the balance of the money and take retroactive possession of the field, and you could take retroactive possession of this field, Usr, this is Usr. Because in such a situation, we don't know if the buyer will ultimately pay the balance, or he won't. And therefore, if the buyer pays the balance, and he becomes the owner of the field retroactively, so all of the produce that grows belongs to the buyer. And if the seller will take the produce, he'll be receiving ribbis. If on the other hand, the buyer doesn't end up paying up, and the field remains the seller's, so therefore, he'll have to return the down payment. But the seller will have used the money from the time of the down payment until the cancellation of the sale. And if we allow the buyer to take the produce, he will be taking produce that is that belonged to the seller, and we're saying that he's going to keep that produce because he gave the seller the money and is receiving payment for giving seller money, which is ribis. The Rishonim also point out the writers in our Mishnah suggest that either the buyer or the seller should be allowed to keep the produce, because the Gemara is going to say that neither of them is allowed to take the produce, rather the produce should be left with a third party. Why don't we say that either the buyer or the seller should be allowed to keep the produce, and then if it turns out, then when we'll see what happens at the end of the term, they'll have to return the produce if they weren't supposed to eat it. From here we see that the halacha is the ribis amanas lahachsir is also another halacha. Hilveus tadeu. If somebody made a loan to somebody with putting up the field as security, if you do not pay me up within 3 years, the field will be mine. Although it's worth more than the amount of the loan, it's acceptable that he could keep the field. That means if the loiver gives the malva field as security, and he tells the malvas, if I don't pay you up by the end of 3 years, you could keep the field, even though the field is worth more than the actual loan, it's mutter. That's what Ben Bais Ben Zoyna would do. According to the Chachamim's explanation. Mi Eichel Peiris. Ask the Gemara. In a situation where a buyer and where a seller accepts down payment on a field, and he makes up with the buyer that if he pays up the balance within a specific period of time, then the sale will be consummated. Otherwise, the sale is cancelled and the down payment is going to be returned. Who eats the produce of that field in that interim time? Mi Eichel Peiris. Rafunayim and Mi Eichel Peiris. The seller takes the produce while the sale is pending. Since we don't know, as we learned in the Mishnah, we don't know who's going to be the ultimate owner of this field, the halach is that we leave the payers with a third party. And says the Marvaloi Pligi, there's really no machlaikis. Rav Hun is referring to a situation that when is the seller allowed to take the produce? When he says to him, only when you bring me the balance that you owe me will the field become yours. Until then, the field is mine, and therefore, he's allowed to eat the produce. Rav Anan, on the other hand, is referring to a situation where the seller tells the buyer that once you pay me, the field will become yours retroactively from today. And since we don't know what the outcome is going to be, therefore Rav Anan says that neither of them may eat the produce. Says the Gemara, Tanar of Sefer Barabbas the Rebbe of Chia. Pamim Shnei Matarim, there are times that both the buyer and the seller are allowed to eat the produce. Pamim Shnei Masurim, Pamim Shamaychim Mutav Lekechas, sometimes the seller may eat and not the buyer. And Pamim Shalaychim Mutav Lekech Asum. Honor Rav Basreis. Rav said, I will explain this price. Pamim Shnei Matarim, we made a buyer and seller both eat from the produce. Domelekeshir Zuzach, where a seller sells the buyer a property, and the buyer gives him a down payment, and he says the amount you now own in this field, amount of property corresponding to the down payment you gave me. So that part of the property belongs to the buyer, and he could own the produce. The rest of the property still remains to the seller, and he could eat the produce. And as the Farshim point out, since there is no issue of ribis here at all, they could eat produce from each other's share also. There is no issue of ribis here at all. Pamim Shishnei Masurim is the case that Rav Onan just explained. When he says to me, when the seller says to the buyer that when you pay the balance, it will become yours retroactively, but only if you pay the balance. So we don't know if there will or won't be a sale here, so it's a question of ribis. Sometimes the seller may continue eating, but not the buyer. As Rav Huna explained, that the field only becomes yours when you pay the balance. Until then, it's completely the seller's, and the seller could eat the from that field. Only the buyer may eat the property. Where the seller tells the buyer, this property is becoming completely yours from today. The loan is a separate loan. He's not connecting the loan, the obligation that he has to pay the balance, to this, and therefore it's two separate things. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah and Bryce that says Shnei Masurim, that neither the buyer and the seller, in a situation that the sale, if he pays up, retroactively becomes his. Who is that Tana? It's not Rabbi Yehuda. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, we learned earlier Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Hamitzat Echus Beribis Mutter. Whenever it's not a situation that for sure there's going to be ribis, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's not considered ribis. In our case, it depends on whether the buyer will pay up the balance or not. And since, therefore, it's not for sure that there's going to be ribis, it's not asur. Mishkan Lebayis, another brisa. If a borrower put up his house as security for a loan, or Mishkan Lebayis, he put up a field as security, the lender said to the borrower, when you want to sell him, like Timkrim Elali, you should not be allowed to sell it to anyone but to me, but Dom Halalu, for the cheaper price. And he agreed that the borrower agreed to sell it to him for a reduced price, Usr. This is Usr because it's ribis, that the lender is getting a better price because he lent the borrower money. However, if he says, I get right of first refusal, but I'm going to pay the full value, that's mutter. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana B'dom HaLola Osur. Who's the Tana that says that if the borrower obligated to the seller that will agree to sell him the property at a reduced price, it's Osur? Again, says the Gemara, Om Rav Huna B'Reidu Rav Yeshua, the like Rav Yehuda. Dik Rav Yehuda, Om Tzadach B'Ribis Mutter. Here too, the Ribis is not for sure going to happen, because it's not for sure that the borrower is going to sell the property, and therefore may not end up being ribis. And therefore, since it's not for sure going to be ribis, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should be mutter. Machle bayis. So now the Gemara goes on to explain this price. Machle sada. If somebody sold a house or a field, formula lechishiyuli mas. Whenever I have money, hachzerimli, you have to sell me back this house or this property. Also, lechishiyuli mas. But if the buyer said to the seller, if you will have money, achzirim loch, I will return it to you, mutter. So first the Gemara comments, Man Tana, who's the Tana of the Braisa that says that selling a property with a right of redemption is forbidden? Here we don't know for sure that he's going to buy back the property. Now ask the Gemara, Maishta Reisha, Maishta Seifa. Why in the Reisha, when the seller made the condition, is the deal Osir? But why when the buyer made the condition, is it Mutter? Amar Rava, answers Rava. Seifa d'amale medati. The Seifa of the Braisa refers to a situation where it's not a binding agreement with a seller that he's allowed to redeem his property. But he just says to him that he'll consider letting the seller buy it back. But since it's not something that he has to do, we can't consider it ribis, because the deal is a full-fledged deal. If ultimately he agrees to let the seller buy it back, that would be considered a totally new sale, not connected to the original transaction, and therefore there is no ribis involved in the original transaction.